Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, we'll read verse 6 through 8. And I know we read this last time, but this is echoed again at the end of the chapter. So let's go ahead and read it. "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my fear? Says the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread on mine altar," he said. "And you say, where have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Go take that and offer it to the governor. Will he be pleased with you, or accept your person, or the gifts that you bring?" Says the Lord of hosts. Heavenly Father, help us today to understand your word, that you'd move upon our hearts, because the topic of today's lesson is to win lost souls, and put in us a burden and a heart to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. And like I said, this is echoed again later. But as I said last time, let's pick it up at verse 11. "For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering at that. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts." The priests were messing up, and because of their corruption, and the corruption of others, the Pharisees, Sadducees, what have you, Jesus was later crucified. The common people wanted him. They gladly heard him. If they knew, if he got in a boat and he was going to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they would kind of get an idea where he's going to go to that town, and they would start running and collecting people along the way, running to get to the other side where they would meet him. And as he stepped out of the boat, they would say, "Lord, I got something on my arm, please heal that. Or my cousin, he can't even get out of bed, he's too sick." Or whatever the case, or cancer, or whatever they had. And Jesus healed everyone. They wanted what he had. They adored him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They gladly repented. But these priests, they were corrupted. And as you read the Gospels, the narrative, what have you, you get an idea that the priests and the Pharisees, the guys, every jot and every tittle, oh, and all the rules we made up, you've got to keep, or we'll throw you out of church. Those guys, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the priests, they're the ones that crucified Christ. But because Jesus was rejected, again, not by the common people, but by the leaders, Israel, as Paul said in Romans, was broken off. They were broken off. They're not in their land anymore. They've lost their way. God threw them out of Israel. And it took 1900 years for them to come back. But Jesus one day will return. And you can read the last few chapters of Zechariah where they accept him as the Messiah. They talk about the wounds in his hands. They talk about all these things. And they accept him as Lord and Master, as King, as Messiah, what have you. That's in the New Kingdom, or toward that way anyhow. And I don't want to talk too much about eschatology, but they will be received again. Again, they rejected him. They had him nailed to a cross, and they were thrown out. And I'm looking for the return of Christ. I want to see him. If I die, I'll go to meet him. If the rapture happens, I'll meet him. But it's not about me. And it's not about us Christians. It's about the Jews. Again, you have to read Scripture from that perspective. The Jews. They nailed above his head, King of the Jews. And he's coming back for his people. But again, because of this corruption, the evil things the priests did, in light of all this corruption, and knowing what would happen, Malachi starts prophesying that all over the world, not just in Israel, not just in the Middle East, but all over the world, from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And again, the word Gentile means someone that's not a Jew, which means most of us. And in every place around the world, incense shall be offered unto my name. And last time I briefly mentioned the pieces of furniture that were in the temple. And honestly, I want to spend months talking about that again. It's a wonderful subject. But all I had time for was to just list the ark, list the mercy seat, what have you. But one of the things in the temple was the golden altar. And they were supposed to offer a lamb or whatever at the brazen altar. And then take of the ashes, the priest would, and bring them into the temple, the tabernacle, the tent itself. And they would have coals from that altar outside brought in, and they would be smoldering. And then the priest would take spices, whatever kind of spices they were, and drop them onto these coals. And the whole room would be filled with, it says, a sweet savor. Nowadays, you can go to the store and buy little sticks of incense. Well, back then, they were in powder form, and they dropped them on the coals. And they were specific spices, and they glorified God, these spices did. And in Revelation, it makes a comment that prayer is as incense offered on God's altar. I'm sure that 99% of the people listening to me this morning are Gentiles. But as we open the Word of God and teach from it and learn from it and praise Him and then bring our needs to Him perhaps later, we're magnifying the name of God. We're burning incense through our prayers that rise to God, and he likes it. But it says, in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, not the corrupted thing the priests do. But God wants us to have pure hearts as we praise him, as we worship him, as we live for him. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. I've got a sermon that I've tried to preach and record twice, and both times, because of technical things, it failed. But it's called The Feasts and the Great Commission. And the feasts, the three big ones, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. It tells the story of how Christ died, and then the Spirit on the day of Pentecost came down from heaven. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that it's for us to be martyrs or witnesses of Christ. And the Great Commission says to go out into the whole world to preach the gospel, so that incense would be offered unto God throughout the whole world. And Tabernacles talks of, hey, let's gather in the lost before it's too late. But let's read a little bit, I suppose. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, let's look at verse 13 through 15, "For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the one sent to the Gentiles. I magnify my office, or I take advantage of the office that God gave me, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, that I might save some of them." In other words, I preach to Gentiles, I eat ham sandwiches, I mean, I'm a Jew, but I'm focused on the Gentiles. And I hope that Jews in the synagogues I go to, whatever, that they're, it says, provoked to emulation. But he says, I hope that they would get the message that Christ is the Messiah and that they would follow him as I do. "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, how much shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Again, the Jews were broken off, and we're a wild olive tree. We get to be grafted into the root, Jesus Christ. But it says that they'll be grafted back in. In verse 23, "And they also, the Jews, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted back in. For God is able, after 2,000 years or whatever, to graft the Jews back in," which is what I've been talking about. But let's look at John chapter 7. In my notes, I've got verse 25 through 43. It's a great read. I wish that you would read it later on. But in verse 25, the people are talking. They're not sure if this is Christ. They're not sure if he's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. They don't know, and they're trying to figure it out. "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he? Isn't this the one that they're trying to kill? But he speaks boldly." And they say nothing to him. "Hey, do the rulers know that this is indeed the very Christ?" Now, we're not really sure where this man is from, or howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ comes, no man knows whence he is. Again, they're trying to figure it out because he's the biggest news in town. And Jesus responds and others respond and what have you. But in verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests, which is what Malachi is about, the priests, they sent officers to take him or arrest him. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, you can't go. Then said the Jews among themselves, where he will go, that we won't find him. Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Is he going to leave Israel, Jerusalem, what have you? Is he going to go to Rome or Egypt or wherever, somewhere, and teach the Gentiles? I mean, his message is great, but he says he's going away and nobody's going to be able to find him. Well, where's he going to go? He's going to go to the Gentiles? Now, he was speaking prophetically of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And you can look in the phone book, you can get on Google, you can travel the world looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He's in heaven. And that's what he was talking about. But they make this comment. He's going to go where we can't find him. What's he going to do? Go outside of Israel? And oh, teach the Gentiles? But in verse 37, 38, and 39, it's as if Jesus said, oh yeah? Well, listen to this. In the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Remember the woman at the well? She was thirsty. Well, if you're thirsty like her, come unto me and drink of me. He that believes in me, and this is basically an echo of what he told that woman, was it in John chapter 4 or whatever? He that believes on me, as the Old Testament scripture said, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Remember Moses, they were in the desert. Chapter 17 of Exodus, they were thirsty, all 3.5 million. And they complained to Moses, they complained to God. And God said, okay, Moses, take your stick, go to that mountain, that rock over there, and hit it once real good. And out of that rock flowed a river of water in the desert, streams in the desert. And all of those 3.5 million people were satisfied. Miraculously satisfied by the river that came out of the rock. Paul said that rock was Christ. It symbolized Christ, what they did back in Exodus chapter 17. That Jesus was smitten, oh, and afflicted of God, like it says in Isaiah chapter 53. That we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But as he was smitten, when he died on that cross, when they pierced his side, blood came out and water, which was yet another prophecy of the day of Pentecost. When the Spirit came from heaven, power from heaven, so that we could take this message to the world. Power to fulfill the Great Commission. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But in verse 39, again in John chapter 7, as in parentheses, Jesus was speaking of the Spirit, that they that believe in him should receive or receive later. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Again, he died for our sins, rose from the grave, went to heaven, but not many days hence, it said, the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. And that very day, Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. And a chapter or two later, it says, a great multitude of priests believed the message and got saved. But let's finish this chapter. We read earlier that God said that the priests were profaning the altar, polluting the altar. They were corrupted. They offered unacceptable sacrifices. But in verse 12, he picks it up again and says, but you have profaned it, in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. And you also said, doing the work of the priesthood, making these sacrifices, sprinkling the blood here and there, taking the incense to the golden altar, and representing the people before God, and once a year atoning for their sins. What a weariness this is. That's what they said. It's a weary thing to serve God. And God says, the offerings and whatever you snuffed at it, says the Lord of hosts. And once again, he says that you brought that was torn and lame and sick. That's the kind of offerings you bring. Should I accept this at your hand, says the Lord. Again, he says it twice in the same chapter. Maybe God thinks it's important. Corruption shouldn't be. Remember, he said in verse 11 that from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, that my name will be great among the Gentiles, and in every place they'll offer incense to my name, and a pure offering. A pure offering, not a corrupt one. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. And he echoes that again too, the last verse of Malachi chapter 1. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. Because God says, I'm a great king, and my name is dreadful, or wonderful, or glorious, or magnificent among the heathen. You see, you need a broader view of Scripture and the plan of God and the breadth of human history. You can start in Genesis, God created, etc. Then he took Abraham and showed him justification by faith. And on through history, he builds on that and instructs people. And then finally the Messiah comes, and the Jews reject him. But that's okay. The stone that was rejected became the head of the corner. And how marvelous this is in our eyes. And Paul said, well, the Jews don't want it. I'll go to the Gentiles. And that's what the church is today. It's about winning Gentiles, or the heathen, or those that don't know God, trying to get them reconciled to God. And as the hymn says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout God's victory. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.